information.
Give us a name. Give us a name so we can.
So we'll learn the four Shalema. We'll learn from her. Okay, Meshavah, Refuah Shalema. We'll learn for her Refuah Shalema. We're up to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes, Vayis Avram, Holech V'Nusa Aneg, Avraham began to travel. Holech V'Nusa Aneg, the Pasuk says, he traveled. Holech, continuing to travel, Neg, Neg, what is Neg, but south. Okay, so remember yesterday we gave the example that we start out in California. We call California Ramnaharayim. He goes east, goes past Atlanta. Atlanta we call Basel. And then he comes to, let me put everyone on mute, one second. Let me put everyone on mute here. Participants, mute all. We have four participants, okay. And he comes now to, the south, okay. Then we gave him a marshal. He was in California, going past Atlanta, in between Atlanta and New York. And now he begins to go down to, what's down there? What's down there? Florida? Not Florida. What's somewhere down there? Whatever the map there is. Okay. Let's just go down to Florida. Rashi pasuk tes. Holech v'nosea. Rashi is bothered by this curious expression. He is holech v'nosea. What does this mean? Holech v'nosea. Leprakim. He's going in stages. Okay, stages. Stages. Yoshev kan chodesh o yosev v'nosea misham. Vinoite Oholoi, he sits over here for a month or more and he travels. And Vinoite Oholoi Bemokimacher, Bechol Maasov Hanegba, but every single journey he continues to go further down south. Lolech has to travel Lidroima Shal Eretz Yisrael. Vihi Litzad Yerushalayim. He's now coming to Yerushalayim, Shehi Bechelka Shal Yehuda, the portion of Yehuda. Shenotloi bidroima shal eretz Yisrael, the southern portion, shal eretz Yisrael har hamaria shehi nachalosai. Yehuda is inherit. We learned, isn't this amazing? We learned this today. We spent the whole day today on this pasuk, and then we learned in the morning Navi. We learned this. V'nachal Hashem es Yehuda. Okay, bochar oid b'Yerushalayim. What a coincidence. Isn't that amazing? We mamash learned this in the morning today about this. He's going down south to Yerushalayim, Hamaria, Shinachalosai, Bereshus Rabba. Okay, then, so what do we learn, by the way, what do we learn from all of this? Just in the general, the simple Shalom, the Pasuk, we learn from this, and everything we learned yesterday, we learned yesterday seven locations. We learned about the origins of Avram and Aram Naharayim. We learned that he traveled to Choron. And then from Choron he traveled to the east, to the mountain that was on the east side of Basel. And Basel is still west of Ai. All of those areas appear to be north. Aram Naharayim, Choron, Basel, Ai. All of those places are north. Now, for the first time, he's going south. He's now going to the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael. So until this pasuk, everything has been in the northern region of the land. Let's see the Targum. Targum, pasuk tes. Unital Avraham unital. What does the word unital mean? Okay, the word unital is obviously coming to translate the word vayisa. The word vayisa, translation is unital Avraham ozel v'notel. Okay, it's traveling Lidoroima to the south. Let's see the parish. The parish here says, gotta get this out of my way, this thing over here. Okay, the parish here says Avraham Pasuk Tes says Ozel, it's a little bit dark. Ozel Vinotel Ayin Rashi, Shahalech Linaseh Huloshain. This means Huloshain. Adam, wait, Ahulashain Makar. Nachama, what does he mean over here? Ozel Vinotel Ayn Rashi. It's not here. Rashi is in Shemois. Shehoilech Vinosehu Lashain. This is Makar. I don't know what he means by that. Av Unkel is Sechalifa Lashain Hoiveh. The present tense. So let's try to figure out what he means to say over here. Over here, the Targum says that Avraham here. And this pasuk is traveling. Let's go to the Targum. Targum over here. Pasuk Yud. Unital Avram. Ozel Vinotel. Okay, unital. And Rashi says, go back to the Rashi. Rashi says, leprokim, yoshev kan chodesh yoyser v'noite v'noisei mishon. V'noite oholoi. Choylech. So I think what he's trying to say is the machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus as the word holoich. According to Rashi, holoich means to stay put. But it means to stay put for a short period of time. Whereas according to the Targum, the word holoich means to travel. Okay, so there's a very fine point in traveling. Is holoich mean you are traveling, holoich v'noisea? You are traveling. It's two words that go together. According to the Targum, the two words are pasuk yud. What did it say over here again? Pasuk. I'm getting confused here. The Targum pasuk yud. Ozel unital Avram. Ozel vinotel. Okay. Ozel means holoich. And Rashi says leprokin. Okay, I want to go further, but I think the basic idea is that according to Rashi, the word holoich, according to Rashi, means you stay put, you temporarily lodge in a location for a short period of time. But the word holoich means you're currently stationary. Whereas according to the Targum, the word holoich means you're active, you're moving. You're actually moving, you are going forward. Machlek is translation of the word holech. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayihi rabares, there was a famine in the land. Okay, there was a famine. So Avraham now is in the southern side of Eretz Yisrael. He's in the region of Yerushalayim, in the region of Har HaMoria. And now there's a famine. Vayihi rabares, vayered Avraham mitzrayim olagor sham. And this makes a lot of sense. Avraham right now is in the Nosoya HaNegba. He's right now located in the area of Yerushalayim. And now there's a famine. So what does he do? Vayered, he goes down further south. Vayered Avram Mitzrayim olagor sham, ki choved hora'av ba'aretz. The rav is very intense in the land. Rashi, pasuk yod, ra'av ba'aretz, ba'oysa ha'aretz levada. Only the location where Avram was, l'nasoysoy, im yahar achar devodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'amar lo, if he's going to complain, have doubts, Hashem said to him, Lelechas l'eretz Kanan, the achshava now masi'oi, now he is mana. What does the word masi'oi mean? Okay, what does the word masi'oi? Masi'oi seems to mean that he is causing him to travel or giving him advice. Masi'oi means, I don't know what masa means. Masa means a burden. Right, masa no means a burden. Now masia, he's burdening him, he's troubling him, he is, asking him he's making it difficult for him. Lotseis nimena. So what's going on? Hashem over here is telling Avraham Avinu, I'm giving you over here the linearity to show, and now when he come over here, he has trouble. He has to go. So this is a test. This here is one of the 10. Tests of Avram Avinu. Hashem is testing him and telling him, bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Things are not going well, and now you're going to have to leave. Now let us take a look at the Targum. Targum in Pasuk Yud says, Vahava, there was Kafna. Kafna is a very popular word. It means there was a famine. Ba'ara, in the land. Unichas means to go down. Avram, Limitzrayim. Li'i toy sovo tamon. Now here's a very good word. Li'i toy sovo means to live. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says logor. Logor means to be a stranger. It means to take up temporary residence. I'm not there to be there for a very long time. Yet the Targum uses a word which has a connotation of I'm here for a very long period of time over there. Arabicus tekef kafna ba'ara, the famine was intense in the land. Now let's take a look over here at the parish on the side. The chidushim of what he's saying, what this targum is trying to say. Pasuk Yud says, in Pasuk Yud, we have over here the Mitzrayim, okay? Ketana debir Rabbi Shmuel, Mitzrayim, who kimo limitzrayim, okay? Just that's a grammatical idea. Then he says, li'itoy sava. This is the translation of the word logur, perish, lehisyashev, to dwell. Kan, tirgim loshen logur, beloshen hisyashos. Avol bidvarim, in chumish tvarim, it says there, vayered mitzrayma vayogar shom. Okay, I have to get this out of the way, this thing over here, 1 second. There where it says, logur shom, tirgim vidar, v'chein l'kalman gur ba'aretz, tirgim dur, loshon dira. So the tzarachi, and I have the l'bein ha'lashoynes, v'ayin, later on. So he's acknowledging here that we got a problem. To me it sounds like, that the word that he's using over here, in Pasuk Yud, li'itoy sava, has a connotation of more permanence. And that really changes everything. Okay, ma'isa ova sim labanim. How many years was the Klal Yisrael spend in Mitzrayim? Oh, we were there for 210 years. 210 years is a pretty long time. We were not supposed to be there for so long. Okay, there was a famine in the land of Canaan, and Yaakov told his children, go down to Egypt, to go find some food. Yaakov never had intent to be there for 210 years. And the Bris Ben HaBisarim was to be there for 430 years, or 400 years. So the word over here, Li'itoy Sava, is interesting that the Kavana of Avram was to be there for a long period of time. Okay, I think that's something that should be taken note of. Okay, next thing it says over here in the Targum is Tekaf. The famine was intense. What does that mean? Chazok. Okay, fine. Up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis says, Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Vayihi kasha hikriv lovay mitzrayma. Okay, they come to Mitzrayim by Yom El Sora Ishla. He says to his wife, Hineno yadati, I know. Now I have to go put on the screen the next piece of paper. Let's see if I know how to do this. Okay, the next image is right over here. There's a better way to do this, but I'm not so quick with this. He says to his wife, Hinei no yodati, here it is. Hinei no yodati, I know, ki isha yifas mare ot. He says to Sarai, I now know the time has come that we have to be concerned about your beauty. Okay, so let's now take a look over here at the other page. There's got to be a better way to do this. I know there is, I just don't know how to do it. Okay, there is a better way to do this, but okay, let's just go back and forth between the two for the moment. So let's see over here Rashi. What does Rashi say? Vayikash hikriv lova mitzrayma, and he says to his wife, I now have to be concerned about your beauty. Okay, he says, Hinei no yodati, medrash agada, ad achshav lo hikir ba, mitoch tznil shebishneyem. Could you imagine this? Avram Avinu, how old is he in this pasuk? In this pasuk, he's 75, at least 75 years old. He said, how old was he when he got married? It says so. There's a medrash that tells us how old he was when he got. I think it says he was 25 years old. I think I remember seeing somewhere he was 25 years old when he married Sarah. So he's married to Sarah, he's 75 years old, he's married to her for how many years? 50 years. Could you imagine? So they know that it's amazing. This was their 50th year anniversary. Isn't that amazing? I never realized that. That if Avraham Avinu got married when he was 25 years old and now he's 75 years old, 50 years of marriage. People, they go on a cruise, they go all different places in honor of their anniversary, and what does he take? He takes her to no man's land. And what happens? They're starving. And now he says, oh, he discovers what she looks like. You don't know what your wife looks like after 50 years of marriage? Okay, you still don't know what your wife looks like? For the very first time, what was the maisa? It doesn't say what the maisa was.
That's absolutely right. You don't know the woman you're married to until after 50 years that you're married to her.
It says that it takes 40 years for a person to be oimed al das rabbi. Okay, Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael that you did not after spending with him. Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew Klal Yisrael for 40 years. He was recruited to the service when he was 80 years old. At the end of Chumash Devarim, he says to Klal Yisrael, there's a pasuk that says there that you did not know, understand ad hayoyim hazeh. And Rashi in that pasuk comments that a person is not oimed on the das of his Rebbe until 40 years. It takes 40 years to fully comprehend what the Rebbe says. When it comes to a wife, it takes 50 years to comprehend what Meir just said. 50 years. Okay, that's a very good word, Meir. It takes 10 more years to understand your wife than it takes to understand your Rebbe. Because here, I think it says...
And that's only if you can finally figure it out.
It says here...
I have a copy of a letter that Rav Hutner wrote to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, saying that he didn't realize the godless of his Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak HaKayim,
until what? How many years later? 50?
The letter, I have to look up the date when it was. It must have been in the 60s or 70s.
Well, Chazal say a Rebbe is 40 years. Here, I'm pretty sure I saw a medrash that says that it was 25 years old, it was 50 years, and now it says the actual Hikr Baal Yidei Maisa. Okay, now what is the beauty? Is the beauty over here physical beauty? That's the Pashtus. Okay, Dover Acher, another Pshat. He knew what his wife looked like. He knew what she looked like. However, when a person travels, it takes away your beauty. The stress of traveling takes away from you. B'di v'rachamin ga'olam sh'ayidei toich ha'derech odam misbazeh. V'zois this woman amda b'yoifya, she remained beautiful. Ob shudashol mikra, a son of the Pshat, he knew what she looked like. They had a wedding picture in the house. What it means over here is that now is the time when we have to be concerned. Until now, we lived in a safe place. We lived in the ghetto. There was nothing to worry about. Now we're coming to a bunch of lowlifes. We're coming to Egypt. It's the Erev Asarets. Now is the time when we have to be concerned about your beauty. Now look at this word over here. Black people. You hear Maisa? Black lives do not matter. Okay, can you imagine if they saw this over here, these Meshugayim out there? They you know what they would do? Rashi over here says, Bin Anoshim Shechoyrim Umichuarim, black and ugly people. And now is the time we have to worry about your beauty. Black is not beautiful according to Rashi. Rashi explicitly states that black is ugly. Okay? You want to be a racist? Here you go. Don't blame me. I didn't say this. This is what it says in the Halakha Rashi. Okay, Ishif Asmar, the next page, and Rashi continues over here on this page over here. Okay? Acheim Shel Kushim. He calls the Egyptians the brothers of the Kushim. The Kushim are black people, the Ethiopians. Viloy Hurgulu Bisho Yafe. They don't know what a beautiful woman looks like. Vidoy Meloy Hine no Adoni. Hine no Adoni Suruno. We have over here, what is this referring to? Hine no Adoni Suruno. Where is this? Bereshus Yotes Beis. What's this referring to? I don't remember. I don't remember what this refers to. They're not familiar with a beautiful woman. That was by the Malachim. That's when, I think, by Lot, right? Is that by Lot? When the Malachim came to Lot, and he told the Malachim, come inside the house. Now there, those were men, and they in fact wanted those men for Mishkav Zohar. Now if I'm not mistaken, if this Pasuk, let me go look this up, because this is very important. Okay, Bereshis Yotes Beis. He's saying, Rebbe Chiddush Bereshis Yotes Beis. Let me just make sure I got this straight. Yotes Beis. Yeah? This is the Malachim that come to stone. And Lot. And Lot says, So what was he saying? What is Rashi saying? That the Malachim are beautiful. How do you know that? Do you ever have if someone would ask you before you learn this Rashi, are Malachim beautiful? Do they have a beautiful tzura? How are you supposed to answer that question? I don't know what malachim look like. I never saw a malach. How do I know what a malach looks like? Rashi over here is saying is that in Sodom, he's saying they're not used to seeing beautiful people. They're not used to seeing beautiful women, and they're not used to seeing beautiful men. So when it comes over here to Egypt, they're going to see Sarah. They're going to want Sarah. They're going to want to take her. When the malachim came to Sodom, they wanted those men for Mishkav Zohar. Why do they want only those men? Because they're not used to seeing beautiful men. Now the question I want to ask you is, well, how come if you talk about beauty in a man or woman, what about Avraham? Here's my question to you. Why wasn't Avraham afraid for himself? Don't we have a right to assume that Avraham was a very dashing, handsome person? What would you say, Meir? Do you think, what do the others look like? Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
When you marry a woman, you look at her brother, her father, her uncle, right? Avraham was the uncle,
brother,
right?
Brother, you look at the brother, the brothers.
The brother who?
The brother of the wife. That's for children. Sure. That's for children. If you want to know what the children will turn out to be, you look at the wife's brothers. Most children,
okay,
most
but
sons.
It doesn't work backwards to the.
But that's the midos. That's what the I don't know. Okay, no. You're supposed to look at the wives. The children follow the mother's brothers. In any
but
event.
But I have a different question.
Yeah.
Light was should have been good looking also if he was Sarah's brother.
So what's look what's going on here? Rashi is saying something that is shocking. Rashi is saying over here that we're coming into Egypt. Avraham Avinu doesn't seem to be afraid for himself. He's not too concerned about himself. Why isn't Avraham concerned that they're going to want to take him for Mishkav Zohar? Just like Lot said to the people, you can have my daughters. I'll give you my daughters. They said, no, we don't want the daughters. We want the men. We want to engage in a Tu'eva. So question.
Because they didn't want old men, what should I tell you?
What,
he
why?
Was 75 years old. 85,
how old was he? And how old was Sarah? Sarah was 90 years old. Was 70 years old. So there was an old lady? What's going on?
No, he was old. Sarah was a bas mayor.
Sarah was 10 years younger. 10 years younger.
Abraham Avinu, until he had Yitzchak, he was an old man. They didn't want old men. There were plenty of old men around.
Sarah was 10 years younger. So what is
but
the answer?
Oh,
so here's the point I want to make. Here's the point I want to make. Exactly the point I want to make. How come you find it in Chazal, men, the Nashim were beautiful. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, it says all these expressions, Yifas Toya, Yifas Mare. It says by each one of the most expressions of beauty. It does not say by Avraham and by Yitzchak or by Yaakov. Any expression of it. There's a chazal that says the Shufrid Yaakov. I think there's a chazal that says that Yaakov was very beautiful, but it does not say about Avraham or Yitzchak. So does that mean to say that now, and look at what it says over here when it comes to Lot, they didn't want his daughter, they wanted the men. And Rashi here pretty much says, pretty clearly, the reason why they wanted the Malachim was because the Malachim were beautiful, which itself is a tremendous chiddush. And the people are not used to beautiful men. And that's why they wanted the Malachim. So if that's the case, let's go back to Sarah. They will take Sarah, because she's a beautiful woman. Why wasn't Avraham afraid for himself? They'll want him. Because don't we have a right to assume that Avraham was beautiful? Maybe not. Maybe the fact that Torah never describes the Yoifi, what he looked like, maybe it wasn't so. Maybe Avraham and Yitzchak, maybe they were nothing special. We don't know. It doesn't say anywhere. And this Rashi over here opens up a whole can of worms by describing this very bizarre thing over here. V'doymeloi, look at these words over here that I'm pointing. V'doymeloi hine no adoni suruna suruna. What's going on over here? This refers to Lot. Lot, this Rashi is saying that they're not accustomed to beautiful people and they're going to see you. They're going to want you. So get out of the street. Go into hiding. Okay, so this is an incredible Rashi. Now, let's take a look at the Targum. We have to go back to the other page one more time. Okay, the other page we have over here in the Targum, this Pasuk. The Pasuk here, Vayihi Kasha Hikrev Lova Mitzrayma. The Targum says, "Vahava kad kirev lemeyal lemitzrayim," when they got close to entering into Egypt. Okay, he adds it over here. Okay, lavo means to enter. Va'amar lesarai. Avram says to his wife. He says to his wife Sarah, what does he say to her? He says to her, "Hine no yodati." Okay, I now know ki isha yifas mare ot. Okay, Targum continues. He says l'itasa to his wife, ha, ke'an, now, yodano, I know, are itasa shapiratz chazu'at, that you are a beautiful woman. And Rashi has three perushim. Rashi number one said that Hitaka didn't know what she looked like. Perish number two, he knew what she looked like, but he was shocked that she did not age. Okay, she did not age. When you travel, you age. The stress of traveling causes a person to age. Her appearance was not dulled, even with the stress of traveling. And the third perish is that now is the time when we have to be concerned about this issue of what you look like. So over here, Targum says, Ha ke'an. The word kan means now. So over here in the pasuk it says, hine no yodati. It's a chiddush. No means now, at this moment. That's how the Targum always translates the word no, now. V'chein Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra. V'chein hine no zakanti oy no li. Okay, next. V'chein perush no. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, Rashi Ramban, Ella Shal Rashi, Yochai Rasa, Dovar Shemischadish Ata. Rashi disagrees, Dovar Vil Ramban, Yochai Rasa, Sha'ata, Hi Kocha, Afal Pishahuba Ovar. Okay, that's more of a dictal thing, but it's, Rashi seems to be saying that Rashi is coming to disagree. Hine no, no means, according to Rashi, is a very important insight. No means something new has happened. I never knew this. I never understood it like this. Whenever it says in the pasuk hinei no, no means there is a new revelation. Something new has developed. Breaking news, hot off the press. There's a bombshell, and that new event demands a reaction. It demands that we respond. So what's new? This is why Rashi struggled to give us three perushim. Either number one, and I don't know what you look like. Number two, you're not aging. Your beauty is not dulled in the traveling. Number three doesn't really fit. It's nothing new. Now is the new. What's new is now we're in a new location. We're amongst ugly people, shechoyrim umichoyarim, black and ugly people, brothers of the Kushim, who are not accustomed to beautiful people. Okay, it's a pretty racist statement. Could you imagine what these black and ugly people are not accustomed to beauty. Okay, they don't know what beautiful is. Don't tell me black is beautiful. It's not what it says here. That's what Rashi says. Rashi really, he says it the way it is. Okay? It's pretty blunt. And Rashi, and it's something we have to be concerned about because now we're in a new situation. You see the Machlekes Rashi and the Onkelis once again. Hine no yodati. Onkelis says now is the time. Now is the time that we have to be concerned about. Maybe Unklus, you can say, is more like the third Pshan Rashi. But Rashi in his first two Perushim is not discussing now. Rashi is coming to emphasize something new has developed, and this new development is something which now requires action on my part. Okay, let's go further. In the Targum, okay, then he goes on to say here, Yodana, Milum or Keves Yodo Ano. The word Yodo means I know. Ani Yodea Targum Yodati Shalavachi Loshon Glo Loshon Hoive. Yodati Ze Yomim Rabim. Wow, you see another Machlekes. Another major Machlekes in the Targum and Rashi. Yodana means I know I know now, and Rashi says Yodati ze kama. That was Rashi's third interpretation, but we have now a problem because the Targum is basically contradicting himself, because it says over here, it's Lashon Hoive, it's now. So the Targum first says, Ka'an is now, and Yodo Ano, I know. All right, it's not a Shikash, I know now. Hine no Yodati, I know now. Rashi says in this last interpretation, I know about this for many days. It's just now that we have to be concerned about this. Okay, you can twist this back and forth and show the difference in Rashi and Unkelis. There's a lot going on over here, but there's clearly a difference of opinion in how to use these words. Again, according to Rashi, the word no means something new has developed. According to the Targum, no means now. Rashi says over here, I know this Yomim Rabim. The Targum's choice of words is Yodano, Lashon Hoive, I know this now. Not what Rashi says, I know this from long ago. Okay, now beautiful, beauty. What's beautiful? There was Shifra and Pua. Remember those two women, Shifra and Pua? Yocheved and Miriam. Yocheved was Shifra. She was Shifra. That comes from the word Shapiras. This is the same word as a shofar. Teka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. Shipru ma'aseichem. Make your deeds beautiful. Lashon yofi v'noi kemo hanoisen imrei shefer, person who says words of beauty. Okay, Shapiras Chazu, you look beautiful. L'kamon tegim yifas mare, yoyo bechazusa, cause a prima godim. Yesh hevesh v'milim yo'osh and shefar baramis. Okay, so he's teaching us over here something very fascinating. There are different ways to describe beauty. One way is the word Shapiras, and there's another word called yo'osh. What's the difference? So he says over here, Yo'ah al piroi perusha yoifi v'hadar, beauty. Shepa piroi perusha toy v'yashar. Okay, so it's a midah. The word shefar means uprightness. It's a beauty in your ways. Whereas the word yo'ah means a physical beauty. Now, if that's correct, why did the Targum say, ki isha yifas mare ot? We learned in kindergarten that it means that she was physically beautiful. But that if that's correct, according to the Targum should say the word yo'oh, not the word Shapiras Chazu. The fact Targum used the word Shapiras Chazu indicates that the Targum learns is that Avraham Avinu said, I know that you're a good person. You're a very good person. He's not describing her midos, her physical beauty. And this goodness, toy v'yoshar, is very attracting. It's very, even more so than physical beauty. Okay, it says over here, very interesting. And in L'chein, the word shafar, al pi perusha toy v'yoshar, v'hamei davar al matchunasa, on its nature, you put something on its nature, the character. Ulchein toyar tirgame shapira. Toyar means physicality, the tsura. Avaloi mare. Tirgim yoe. Mare means what you look like. That means physical beauty. Shakavan is ziv. Rashi. Now, where is he going with this? Toyar hu chituch evodim noim bapirtsov. Yifei mare ziv klasavim shavareu. Ulefi ze, yesh loimar. Shetirgim kan beloshin shafar bimnesha Avraham. What does it mean to say over Avraham? His oirer al yidei shuro yoifi tavnisa al yidei maisa. Ayin Rashi. So he wants to say over here, he wants to say over here an idea, which is a very deep idea, that when Rashi says there was a maisa, I don't know what the maisa was. Okay, the only maisa that I know was that he saw her reflection in a mirror, in the water. They were drawing. Avraham never looked at his wife, according to one pshat. He never, ever looked at his wife. What happened? They were drawing water, and he accidentally saw his wife's image in the reflection of the water. That was the Maisa. That's how I learned when they taught us Rashi. That's what they taught us. That story, he saw her reflection in the water. Which is very bizarre to say that Avraham Avinu, he never looked at his wife for 50 years. Okay, and he saw now for the first time reflection. But Rashi doesn't say the Maisa. Rashi says a Maisa. And he's trying to say now, whenever you talk about a Maisa, what is a Maisa? Think about this. When you talk about a Maisa always teaches you a moral lesson. Do you ever say, I want to tell you a Maisa, a story from a Gadol, Gedolim stories, when you're telling me what they look like? Whenever you use the word Maisa in the Haggadah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfain, Shahyu Nusub, Bnei Barak, Vayu Darshim, Beyetzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oysa Halayla, At Shadot Tal Midayim, Vyeru Rabbi Sein, Regiyaz Ma Kriyash Mashal Shachas. Whenever you talk about, you say the word Maisa, it has a connotation of an ethical teaching. So here, in the Rashi, okay, it's on the other page, Rashi says he ne no yodati, Ki ish yifas mare at. And Rashi says, Al yidei maisa. If Rashi is saying a maisa, it's very balabatish. It's a very simplistic way to say the maisa was, he ended up seeing her reflection in the water. That's the maisa? That's not a, you don't use the word maisa. When you use the word maisa, there's a connotation that there was an ethical teaching. Something happened on the road when they were traveling. She did a certain act of kindness that even though he was married to her for 50 years, he did not appreciate how good she really is. And that Maisa awoke in him who he's dealing with. He's dealing with a very holy woman. And because he's dealing with a very holy woman, he says, and then we have to go into the next psukim. They're going to kill you. And they're going to let you live. Okay, they have to go into how this ties into the next pasuk. But it's incredible. Now that you learn the Targum, see, more often than not, we're trying to make a war between the Targum and Rashi. In this instance, Rashi says three things, and there's a lot of interaction with the Targum and Rashi. And one thing that we really come to appreciate is what Rashi in this first pshat says, Al yidei maisa, because the Targum does not translate the word yifas mare with the word that we would expect to say it should be ye'oh, which means physical beauty, but he used the word shapiras, which means toiv v'yosha, a good person. And that totally changes the story. That what they're going to notice about Sarah is her goodness. They're not going to notice her in her. They're not necessarily looking to her as an object of znus, as a physical beauty. And when Rashi says Maisa, it fits in much better, because that's what a Maisa is all about. It's about a moral, ethical teaching. And while we're talking about this, I just want to tell you, I remember many years ago, I heard Rabbi Ribner, that Gershon Ribner, should be gesund and well. Gershon Ribner Gershon Ribner, he lives in Lakewood. He's a very big, incredible Talmud Chacham. I think he is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Balei Machshava in America, and maybe even in the whole world. He has an incredibly creative mind in Machshava, in, I don't want to say Drush, it's not Drush, in looking at something in the Torah, and giving you a whole new take that is extremely fresh and refreshing. Okay, he's a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I heard him speak many number of times over the years. And I remember once he gave a shiur in Mitzvah Shabbos here in Flatbush. He came all the way from Lakewood. He had Mitzvah Shabbos in Daf Yomi, the sugyus of Daf Yomi, a lamda shashir. And then Kedarkai, when the lamdonim, they say the shiur, the rules are, you say 45 minutes on the daf, lamdis, on the last 15 minutes or the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you say a vart on the parasha, just to wind down with the parasha. So he usually spends more time on the drush than on the lumdis, because that's his forte. And it was probably parashas Lech Lecha. I remember what he said. He said, "What's the pshat?" He said, "What's the pshat? Avraham, let's go back to the Balabata pshat. Avraham Avinu, he's married to this woman for 50 years. And Rashi says, Mishum Litznil Shebinehem, he didn't know what she looked like. So we just set up Jewish. It means he did not know her midos, the depth of how good she was. He's going simple pshat. He's dealing that he did not know what she looked like. Okay, physicality. How could it be? He said, he asked the question. What? A man is married to a woman for 50 years. Come on already. What's, I don't want to sound like Biden. Biden always says, come on. Now you can't say that word anymore. What is going on over here? That this woman, that Avram did not know what his wife looked like after 50 years. This is not the type of approach to Judaism that we're comfortable with. Torah was given to normal people who look at their wife and talk to their wife and behave in a normal way. You're going to tell me they didn't know what she looked like for 50 years and now Ali de Maisa, he first sees her for the very first time? Come on! It's so far-fetched. You want to say that's the pshat? All right. Im Kabbalah hi nikabah. But the question is too difficult. So he said, I'll tell you what the pshat is. He says, when you know people, when you see them in action. You have a friend, you have a spouse, you have children. You don't see them in pictures. We live in a world today where we have pictures. Everyone that gets married put up a picture. But in those days, there were no pictures. There was no technology, there was no pictures. So when you look at a person, what do you see? You see them in motion. You see them in action. You see them davening. You see them doing chesed. You see them learning. You see them shopping. You see them walking in the streets. Think about all your neighbors. No one has pictures of their neighbor, of their neighbors on their dining, in the dining room wall. You have pictures of your children, but you don't have pictures in your dining room and all over your house of your neighbors, right? You don't see anyone's house. I have a picture of my, hey, that's the neighbor across the street. I have his wedding picture, okay? And that's the neighbor on that side of the street. You don't see that. So when you think about these people who you know, who you live with every single day, that are not part of your inner circle where you're going to put their picture on the wall, you see them in motion. Avraham always saw his wife. When you see someone in motion, you are distracted. You don't view them as an object because they're always busy doing things. You're focusing on what they're doing, the motion. When you look at a person, a picture by a magazine, oh, a magazine. Oh, you can look and you can stare. Go watch a video. You can look and you can stare. You look at the person as an object. And when you look at them as an object, you get into trouble. Then it becomes an object of taiva and it becomes problematic. Avraham Avinu, the story was, they were drawing, he knew what his wife looked like. He dealt with her every single day. But it happened once. He once saw a picture of his wife. How did he ever see a picture of his wife? Because they were drawing water, and she was standing there, and she wasn't moving, and he was drawing the water, and he looked in the water, and he saw her reflection. When he saw her reflection in the water, what he was really doing was he was looking at his wife as a picture, as if she was on the wall, a picture on the wall, an image of his wife when she's not in motion, she's not busy accomplishing and achieving. And then it dawned upon him, she's a very beautiful woman. There's nothing to be, when this, in this snapshot, there's no motion. There's nothing to be distracted. There's nothing to, she's not doing things. I'm just looking at her as an object. And that's how the Egyptians are going to look at her. The Egyptians, they're not distracted by her chesed, by her ma'asim tovim, because they couldn't care less about chesed, ma'asim tovim. Who cares? They just care about pictures. And when they look at her, they look at her as a snapshot, as an object. Oh, very dangerous, because she's a very beautiful person. So the ma'asim shehoya, Rabbi Ribner said, it is David Pashut Ad Ma'od Avraham Avinu. He knew what she looked like. He spoke to her every single day. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, a day that I do not, day not having a tea with my wife is like a day not wearing tefillin. Every single day he had tea with his wife. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, on a day that I don't have tea with my wife, it's as if I didn't put on tefillin that day. He knew what she looked like, but when he dealt with her, it was always through activity. And here he saw a snapshot, a picture, a mugshot of his wife. Oh, we got a problem. Because when we go to Egypt, they don't look at activities. They couldn't care less about activities. They look at pictures. And when they see my wife, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Okay, so this is a Dvar, I remember, made an impression upon me the way he explained it, but Ribner explained this Rashi. So in Askar, we have over here three Mahalchim, Rashi, we have a little, I think we learned a lot of nice things over here. And unfortunately, we have to stop over here. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we're going to do Sidur. The Sidur, continue where we left off. Have a good evening. Thank you for joining me. Good night. All the best, everyone.
Thank you.
Servus
Bachi, meet you now, long.
What?
No, talking to